Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 141 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we are back recording in our office tonight for the first time in several months. So it's fun to be able to see some guests in person for the first time in quite a while. Later on, we'll be recapping the girls' state soccer tournament with two of the standouts from the Ankeny and Ankeny Centennial squads. We'll also have a special guest from the Valley team that defeated both the Jaguars and the Hawkettes to capture the Class 3A title. But right now, I want to bring in my first two guests. They're both seniors at Centennial who recently graduated, and last week they teamed up to win the co-ed state tennis title here in Ankeny. They're Claudia Guan and Will Blevins. Guys, how are you doing?
Good.
I'm good, too.
Glad to hear it. Well, I really appreciate you guys coming in. Congratulations on winning the championship. That was quite an accomplishment, and we'll break down a couple of your matches here in a minute. But that was kind of a perfect way to end your high school career, wasn't it, Claudia?
It was, yes.
Get my questions up here again. Well, the tournament was played last Tuesday, and I know it was, I was out at the girls' state soccer tournament that day for just a couple of hours, and I was just dripping with sweat afterwards. You guys had to play five matches over the course of 12 hours to win the title. Will, how were you guys able to survive the heat that day?
We played the first two matches like pretty early in the morning, and they were pretty fast matches. Then we kind of had a long break during the day, so we went to Panera for a while just to cool off. And then came back to play our final three matches.
Well, yeah, you guys cruised through your first three matches. You lost a total of just seven games in those three matches. So you were able to get to on and off the court pretty quickly, you know, which I'm sure helped as far as, you know, fighting the fatigue. Now, Claudia, had you guys ever played much together before this tournament? Did you have much time to prepare for it?
No, we practiced twice together before. That's it.
Well, of course, you and your sister Esther had placed sixth in the Class 2A doubles tournament earlier this month, so your doubles game was certainly already in top form. But, Will, you had been focusing on singles for the last few weeks as you took second in the Class 2A singles tournament last month. So what was the hardest part about learning how to play with Claudia? Did it take a while for you guys to figure out how to play with each other?
Yeah, probably a little bit the first practice, just getting into it. But then we kind of found our groove.
Well, Claudia, had you ever played much mixed doubles before? You know, had you ever played with a partner, you know, as good as Will?
No, I haven't.
It was probably kind of fun to play with them, huh?
It was very fun.
Well, you guys weren't really tested until the semifinals when you won a three-set match against Allie Roth and Will Eklund of Waukee. And those are two players that you guys are certainly familiar with. Claudia, you won a doubles match against Allie during the regular season. And Will, of course, you played Eklund three times in singles this season. You won two of those matches, including a victory in the Class 2A semifinals. So, Will, did you guys, you know, have a pretty good idea of how you wanted to play against them?
Yeah, we kind of went in knowing to like kind of target Allie, I guess, since we knew she would be the weaker player.
Is that kind of common mixed doubles to kind of pick on the girl? Not that the girls aren't good players, but is that kind of common?
Yeah, most of the time, yeah.
Well, after winning the first set 6-3, you guys dropped the second set 6-1. So Claudia, did you guys have to regroup a little bit before that tiebreaker?
Yeah, I think we did. Yep.
What did you guys, you know, talk about that you had to do then? You don't remember, huh? Will, do you remember?
I think we kind of went a little bit too, we're going too much at Eklund and just focusing more on going at Allie, especially when she was at the net.
Well, you guys ended up winning the tiebreaker 12-10. You know, that must have been a heck of a tiebreaker. Will, did you guys have any match points against you?
Yeah, we went up 9-6 in the tiebreak, and they fought their way back, and they went up 10-9, so they did have a match point. But then we won three straight.
Three straight. Yeah. Wow. Well, then the finals, you guys played the Dowling Catholic duo of Daniel Liu and Allison Gillet, and they had lost only nine games all day. Daniel, of course, was the boys' singles state champion. Will, you know this. He defeated you three times this season, including a 6-4, 6-3 victory in the championship match. And Allison was the girls' singles state champion. She eliminated Centennial's Abby Peterson in the semifinals en route to the title. And I saw both of those Dowling players at the state tournaments, and one thing that they had in common was that they just seemed to return every ball. So for you guys to beat them 6-3, 6-3, you know, that's really impressive. What was the key to the victory, Claudia?
I think we were hitting to Allison more because she wasn't a very good, strong doubles player. But then I was just trying to return Daniel's serve.
Oh, I'll bet. Well, Will Daniel's obviously your nemesis this season. Did it give you some measure of revenge to win the co-ed title over him?
Yeah, it definitely did, especially since it was like the final high school match, I guess.
Well, Will, I know you're headed to Drake to continue your tennis career next year. Will you be playing in some tournaments this summer, or are you going to be heading to campus early to get started on your college career?
I'm going to be playing in some tournaments this summer, and then I don't think I move in early since our season's not until the spring.
Gotcha. Well, I know Drake has traditionally a strong program. Do you think you'll be able to earn a spot in the lineup right away?
I'm actually going to redshirt this upcoming season, so I'll just practice with the team and then probably next season see
feel like you need another season of development?
Yeah, I feel like I do.
Yeah. Well, Claudia, what are your plans for this summer and beyond? Are you going to be playing tennis anywhere?
I'm probably playing tennis at Ames just for the summer, just for fun.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Where are you going to college? Are you going to college somewhere?
Yeah, I'm going to the University of Minnesota.
What are you going to study there?
Architecture.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, guys, thanks a lot for coming in and enjoy the conversation.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right, my next guest is a senior midfielder for the Ankeny Centennial girls soccer team. She helped the Jaguars to an 18-3 record and a trip to the Class 3A semifinals last week at the state tournament. She was named to the all-tournament team, and she was also selected to the Class 3A all-state first team by the Iowa Girls Coaches Association, and she is a candidate for the Iowa Gatorade Player of the Year award as well. She is Elizabeth Overberg. E, thanks for coming to the office. How are you doing?
No problem. Great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, congratulations on a great season and a great career. Is it kind of hard to believe that you've played your final game for the Jaguars?
It is. It's kind of crazy because we only did get 2 years with COVID coming in. So it feels like it just, you had your rookie season and then you had your final season.
Well, you guys had a thrilling win over Dowling Catholic in the Class 3A quarterfinals last Tuesday. And we discussed that victory on last week's podcast. But unfortunately, your team's postseason run ended in the semifinals the next day with a 2-1 loss to Valley, a team that you had defeated earlier in the season. What do you think was the difference in the rematch?
I think it was just, both teams just left it all out on the field. It was really hot. We're both really tired. And I think we kind of did all we could. They had a little bit of a different game plan, I feel like, coming forward since it was later in the season. And it was just a little bit different. And we just couldn't put it away the way we wanted to. But I'm just so proud of how my team played. And, like, there's no regrets going into that game.
Let's break down that game a little bit. You guys got off to a good start. You know, I thought your team kind of controlled the run of play early on, and then Alana Pennington scored the game's first goal at the 15-minute mark. Your team had a throw-in there where Megan White was basically uncovered along the end line, and then she crossed the ball to Alana, who made a run into the box, and she was able to finish after her first shot was deflected by Valley keeper Liddy Anderson. It seemed to me like you guys really caught Valley off guard on that sequence, you know, like they were still trying to get organized when the ball was thrown in. Did it seem that way to you?
It did, and that's what we'd been working on in practice a lot. It was Coach Allen's biggest thing was, can we use the transitions and the stoppage and play to kind of catch them off guard? So it was kind of perfect that's how we scored our first goal, was just a quick throw in, because we knew it's hard on transitions to kind of find all your marks.
Well, unfortunately, your lead only lasted about 10 minutes. Valley converted a penalty kick in the 25th minute to tie it up, and that certainly changed the momentum of the game. Now I was over at the Ankeny game at that time, so I didn't see what happened. So was that a handball in the box, or did they call a foul?
I honestly thought they called a foul. They were on a breakaway, and we got there. It was hard to tell from my position if it was ball or if they called it right, but I'm just glad that my team was there and it wasn't just a 1v1 with the goalie. So at least we had someone to step in there, and sometimes it just doesn't go your way.
Sure. Well, the score remained tied 1-1 at halftime. You know, did you feel pretty good about where you guys were at the half, or did you guys make some adjustments?
We tried to settle it down a little bit. We felt like we weren't playing our style of the game at the end of the half because I think the fatigue might have hit us a little bit. We were kind of getting trapped just playing the long ball and not connecting like we had been all season. So at halftime, that was kind of our game plan. Like, everyone settle down. You're here for a reason. Let's just play our game.
Well, then in the second half, it did appear that Valley was gaining the upper hand at times. Your goalkeeper, Allie Jumper, finished the game with 12 saves, which is twice as many as Valley's Anderson. And the Tigers scored the go-ahead goal midway through the half when J.C. Lucky headed the ball into the net off an assist from Gabby Gaffney. And that was just a really good goal. You guys really couldn't do much about that one, could you?
That was hard. Yeah, Allie is a stud. So that she made so many saves to keep us in that game, and that was a great header by on their part. And really nothing we can do about that one.
Yeah, and Lucky's a freshman who started for the Valley girls basketball team in the winter. And even though she scored 9 goals for the Tigers this season, she did come off the bench for the girls soccer squad. And that just kind of shows how much depth they have, doesn't it?
They did have a lot of depth in that game. They sent a lot of people forward and running fast. And we have a lot of depth, too. And we just play a different style of soccer. So it's sometimes hard to showcase all of that in that game.
Well, while you guys were playing Valley, of course, your crosstown rival Ankeny was knocking off Waukee to reach the championship game. Now, you guys had really dominated Ankeny a month ago en route to a 4-0 victory, and they certainly didn't look like a state title contender that night. How surprised were you by their run to the championship game?
We were, everyone was pretty surprised. I know some of my teammates in club on Waukee, they were pretty surprised about Ankeny too, but we just kind of know that. That's kind of in their Ankeny's DNA, is that it doesn't really matter how the regular season's going. You know they're going to give it a final push and give it all they have. And so it's nice to see you're someone who's representing your town do well, but at the same time, we really want it to be a cross-town final.
Well, it says a lot about this town that you have, you know, 2 teams in the semifinals. Of course, a few years ago, we had 2 teams in the final.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that just says a lot about the talent in this town.
Exactly. There's so many good people, and it's so fun playing them and kind of tracking their progress all season long because you know them personally. And it's great to have that competition in your own town.
Now, I know you were there on Friday to watch the final. You know, was it hard to watch, you know, 2 teams that you had beat during the season play for the title?
It was pretty hard, but that's why we went on as a team on a bus, and that's why I wanted a lot of the youngins to come. And I'm like, this is gonna light your fire. So you're gonna come watch this, look how close we were to the final, and use it for next year. But every time it's so hard watching it because you're like, I was one day away from this.
Well, you were named to the all-tournament team along with your teammate Courtney Kovacs, a junior who will be one of the team's key returning players next year. And I know Coach Allen will have to replace you and several other seniors, but do you think there's enough returning talent on this team, you know, to make another run at the title next year?
I do. There is so many good people on this team that I've known for so long, and a lot of them will step up into big leadership roles, I think, because a lot of our captains this year were, in the honorary captains, were seniors. So next year, I think there's so much opportunity for them to step up, and I know they can because there's a lot of great people, and everyone has a really great attitude on the team. So there's not going to be any like cliques that kind of get in the way of that.
Well, of course, you're headed to Minnesota next year to play for the Gophers. You know, so what are your plans for the summer? Will you be heading up there early to get started on your college career, or will you still be playing, you know, like in some club tournaments?
Kind of both. So I play for Iowa Rush. So we have next week our regionals tournament. So we won state in the fall. So it's just all the state winners will play at regionals. For if you win regionals, you go to nationals, which is the biggest thing. And so we'll play that at the end of June. And then I head up July 5th. So it's a really quick turnaround. So it's kind of right now balancing like some club soccer with also getting ready for the college.
Oh, I'll bet. So where's the regional tournament at?
It's in St. Louis.
Oh, okay, and then where would the Nationals be if you guys go
there? I honestly don't know. We went to Nationals 2 years ago, my sophomore year, and that was in Kansas City.
Oh, okay. So. Now, the Gophers, they played a spring season this year, right, because of COVID? Is that right?
They did, yeah.
And how did they do this year? Did they have a pretty good year?
It was kind of a crazy year for all teams. I thought they did, like, pretty well, given that, like, it's hard. You have, like, the freshmen who you've been training basically first, like 6 months in a row because you train all fall and it gets so tedious without having any games. So I thought they did pretty well in the spring, just kind of putting everything together and finding where everyone fits.
Well, of course, there's another former Centennial player on the Minnesota squad, Megan Gray, and she was able to make a pretty seamless transition from the CIML to the Big Ten, and she's had a really good career with the Gophers. Do you think you'll be able to, you know, follow in her footsteps and contribute right away as a freshman?
I'm excited. I have no idea, but it's so nice to have someone who's done it before from your same town and kind of just get to look up to her as a role model. And I'm just excited to kind of be surrounded by so many players that are super excited about the game and just are going to push me, and I can't wait.
Well, I have no doubts that you'll be a success up there. It's like your brother told me that anytime you step on the field, you've been the best player. And I don't know if that'll be the case right away from day one, but I'm sure you'll do just fine. So, well, hey, Elizabeth, you've had a great career. It's been fun to cover you. Thanks a lot for coming in tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, my next guest is a junior defender for the Ankeny girls soccer team. She helped the Hawkettes to a 14-5 record and a runner-up finish in the Class 3A state tournament last week. She was named to the all-tournament team, and she was also selected to the Class 3A all-state first team by the Iowa Girls Coaches Association. She's Eden Gibson. Eden, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Well, congratulations on a great state tournament and a great season. You guys obviously peaked at the right time, and even though you didn't reach your ultimate goal, you know, that was still a great way to finish your season, wasn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think you could ask a lot of us at the beginning of the season where you think we would end up, and I don't think a lot of us would have really said that they could have seen us playing in the state finals. So,
well, yeah, we just had Elizabeth Overberg of Centennial on the podcast, and of course, last month you guys lost to the Jaguars 4-0 in a game that was pretty lopsided. So what changes, if any, did you guys make after that game? You know, how were you able to turn the season around?
Well, one of the changes we made was to the formation. Up to the Centennial game, we were playing with three backs. I think we were playing like a 3-5-2. And then after that game, we ended up playing a 4-3-3, I believe. And so I think that's kind of what helped us too, just because we had numbers behind the ball too. And yeah.
Well, then after losing to Johnston in a shootout a few days later, you guys reeled off 9 straight victories to reach the Class 3A title game before dropping a 1-0 decision to Valley on Friday. Now, one of your wins during that stretch came in a shootout at Ames on May 14th, and that was a team that you knew you'd have to play again in a regional game, you know, a couple weeks later. So do you think maybe that was the win that kind of got the things going for you guys?
Yeah, for sure. When the sub-state brackets came out, a lot of us were nervous because we had Ames and Johnston, and those were teams that previously we went to PKs with. Ames we won, and Johnston we lost. So we knew that our sub-state was going to be pretty tough, and we knew that we just got to capitalize on our opportunities because we wanted a chance to go to state, you know. And we knew they were teams that we could beat. We just had to play our best, but yeah.
Well, I know Coach Simon Brown wasn't happy with the regional seedings because you guys, you know, had to go through that tough bracket with both Ames and Johnston. But you did win a couple of tough games there. You even overcame a 1-0 halftime deficit against Johnston in the regional final. And I know he felt like that gauntlet helped prepare you, you know, for the state tournament. Would you agree?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, then in the Class 3A quarterfinals, you guys avenged an earlier loss to number 2 Pleasant Valley with a 1-0 victory. You got a penalty kick from Rachel Christman in the final minute. You know, how much confidence did you have in Rachel that she would be able to finish that?
I was confident in her for sure. I can't remember what game, but she had a penalty kick and she took it and she made it, obviously. And so I was confident with her going in, and yeah.
Well, Pleasant Valley had really been on a roll. They had outscored their previous 7 opponents by a 30-0 margin. How were you guys able to slow down their attack?
Well, I remember playing them earlier in the season. It was like one of our earlier games. And that was actually a game I had to take the ACT that day. So I took the ACT and I left right from there. And I think I ended up making it to like 10 minutes left in the first half. And when I came, the score was 0-0. And that was a game, we went to overtime and they ended up winning. So we were kind of nervous about playing them again, but we knew they were a team that we could beat. And so we just made sure that we had to stop their attack, because I know they have players up top that were pretty decent players and they could score goals. So we just had to make sure to shut them down, and especially in the midfield too.
I know Simon kind of felt like the first time you guys played him that maybe you guys were the better team, didn't he?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I went to that game, and for sure we had a ton of opportunities that we could have capitalized on, and we just didn't. And so I think we were confident going into that game because we knew that they were a team that we could beat, but we had to actually do it.
They probably hadn't played the same kind of competition, I would guess, you know, throughout the year either.
Yeah, I'm not sure all the teams that they played, but yeah.
Well, then in the semifinals the next day, you guys posted a 2-1 win over number 3 Waukee in a rematch from the 2019 title game. Waukee was another team that had really been on a roll. They'd won 3 postseason games by a combined margin of 19-0. But you guys scored 2 goals in the first 20 minutes or so. You got one from Taya Pritchard and another one from Rachel. You know, I'm sure that took some of the pressure off to get that early lead, didn't it?
Yeah, for sure. No, that game, we came out right away, and which was surprising for us. Because normally we don't really score a lot of goals. But no, we came out really strong that game, and I was just really proud of our forwards for coming out. You know, Stepping Up Waukee's a great team, and we really just came out right away.
Well, after beating the 2 and 3 seeds, your team then had a day off before taking on the number one seed in the final. You know, what did you think was going to be the key to that matchup going into it?
I remember actually telling our defensive line this. I was like, it's going to be up to us, because I know Valley has, they have a lot of talented players. I know them just from like playing club. And I was like, they have talented players up top and in the midfield, and they have speed. And I was like, it's going to be up to us, because it doesn't matter if we score a goal, because they have players that will score goals and will capitalize on us. So I was like, you know, it's going to be up to us to keep ourselves in the game.
Well, you guys had to play those first two games in hot and humid conditions, and even though I'm sure you welcomed that day off, do you think with the momentum that you guys had going that maybe you would have been better off to, you know, play again the next day?
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of minutes in 2 days, so I mean, we did have the momentum, but I think the day off actually kind of helped, because a lot of us were just, like, tired and sore and, like, banged up, and yeah.
Oh, for sure. Well, Valley scored the game's only goal in the 7th minute on a penalty kick, which is, you know, obviously a tough way to lose. But like Rachel told me afterwards, you know, you guys did beat Pleasant Valley in similar fashion, so you can't really complain. I mean, it is part of the game, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough way to lose the game, for sure. I mean, a lot of girls were sad after the game, but personally, I wasn't that sad, just because I was proud of our team for making it to the state final. And even though we lost, I think we performed really well. I mean, the only reason they scored was from the PK, and I think our defensive line did a great job on stopping their attack. I mean, with Maddie, Jenna, and Liz, they did an awesome job, for sure. And I was just really proud of our team overall, just... Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you should be. Well, it did seem as the game wore on that both teams were starting to feel the fatigue of playing 3 games in 4 days. You know, how much of a factor do you think it was?
Yeah, it was definitely a factor. I mean, especially with the heat and playing, 3 games in 4 days. I mean, I was tired that game, not even going to lie.
Yeah.
I think everyone was.
I was tired just watching you guys.
Yeah.
Well, this makes 2 seasons in a row that Simon has taken you guys all the way to the championship game with a lower-seeded team. And I know Rachel told me that he doesn't like to take credit for any of the team's success, but, you know, he must have some magic potion or something, because he just seems to push all the right buttons at the right times, doesn't he?
Yeah, for sure. Simon's a great coach, and so is Sarah, our assistant coach. I think they're both very smart, and especially, like, Simon, he talks to us before the games and tells us, like, tactically what we need to do and, like, what the strategies are. But, like, yeah, they're both great coaches, so, yeah.
Well, Eden, you come from an athletic family. Your dad is well-known in Ankeny. He played in the NFL for many years back in the 80s and 90s, and your brother Hayes is currently on the football team at Iowa State. I'm assuming that you would like to play soccer in college. Have you looked at any schools yet?
Yeah. I mean, my college recruiting process has been kind of backed up just due to COVID, you know, with, like, the dead period and everything. So I feel like I'm, like, just beginning mine. But I've been going to, like, a lot of camps and stuff, and, like, talking to coaches. So, yeah.
Do you know what you want to study in college yet?
No, I don't know. Everyone always asks me that. I'm like, I'm trying to put that off until, like, the last second.
You still got time to figure it out. So.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations again on a great season. It's fun to cover you guys, and thanks a lot for coming in tonight.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, my final guest tonight is a junior defender for the Valley Girls soccer team. She helped the Tigers to a 21-1 record in the Class 3A state title, which was the 7th for the program and a record 7th for head coach Rob Chapman. She has been selected to the Class 3A All-State First Team by the Iowa Girls Coaches Association. She's Brooklyn Butoff. Brooklyn, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, Brooklyn's dad, Ward, he brought her here tonight, and he's actually an old friend of mine from my college days at Iowa State, so that's how we were able to get Brooklyn on the podcast. And I really appreciate her time. I thought it'd be fun to get her perspective on the tournament since the Tigers defeated both Ankeny schools on their way to the championship. So, Brooke, how's it feel to be a state champion?
I mean, it's always the dream when you're younger to win a state championship, so it's kind of surreal just to have that under your belt.
Now, did you guys do anything special to celebrate afterwards?
We did teepee both of our coaches' houses, and it was kind of a water gun fight as well, so yeah, that was fun.
Sounds fun, yeah. Well, you guys came into the tournament as the number one seed, so I'm sure you felt like you had as good of a chance, you know, to win the title as anybody. Did you kind of see yourselves as the team to beat?
I think we did, yeah. Especially going in with the 1-8, you kind of have, like, the nothing to lose. You have to go all out and just want to win.
Well, even though Valley has a traditionally strong program, you know, it had been more than a decade since the Tigers last won a state title in 2010, and I'm sure Coach Chapman felt like maybe you guys were, you know, overdue to win another one. Did he ever try to use that as motivation for you guys?
I think we did, and then also just not being able to play last season, just we wanted to play for the seniors that didn't get to play. So that was a big motivation.
Well, you mentioned that 1-8 matchup in the opening round. Your team did roll to a 5-1 victory over Muscatine in the quarterfinals. And I know your team typically subs quite a bit during a game anyway, but the margin in that game, you know, probably allowed your starters to get a little more rest at the end of the game, you know, in some hot and humid conditions. Did you think that the heat would become, you know, a big factor later on in the week?
I think we did, especially since we do sub a lot. We were going to use that as a factor that we could tire the other teams out and let our starters just run them until people needed to sub.
Well, then in the semifinals, you guys ran into Ankeny Centennial, which was the only team to defeat you during the regular season. What did you guys think was going to be the key to reversing that outcome?
I think we just needed to play our game, connect, just try to, because Ankeny Centennial is one of the teams that we think plays most like us, so it's kind of just trying to win those 50-50 balls, get the head up on them when we can.
Centennial has one of the state's best players in Elizabeth Overberg, and she was just on the podcast here a little bit ago. She entered the game with 22 goals. Did you guys focus a lot of attention on her?
I think we just, as a whole team, we wanted to shut down the midfield, just not let them play out, and she was one of the people we focused on, so just trying to make sure someone always has a mark on her was our main priority.
Well, Centennial took an early 1-0 lead in the 15th minute when Alana Pennington was able to finish after her first shot was deflected back to her by your keeper. But that sequence started with a throw into Centennial's Megan White, who was kind of left uncovered along on the end line there. It seemed like you guys were maybe kind of off guard a little bit by that throw. And were you guys a little disorganized at that time? Or?
Yeah, we were. And after actually that goal, I brought together our back line and said that can't happen. And it didn't happen again after that. So that's good.
Well, you guys were able to tie the score on a penalty kick about 10 minutes later. How important do you think it was, you know, to get that equalizer right away?
It was really good. It was our turning point because that happened after the first water break. So then we kind of had that momentum going in the second half, and it just kind of carried us through.
Well, going into halftime tied at 1-1, did you feel pretty good about where you guys were at, or did you make any adjustments?
I think we felt pretty good. We did have the momentum going in, so we kind of just kept how we were and just try to go at them again.
Well, you guys eventually scored the go-ahead goal midway through the second half when J.C. Lucky headed the ball into the net off an assist from Gabby Gaffney, and that was a really good goal. Now, I know Lucky is a freshman who started for Valley's girls basketball team in the winter, but she does come off the bench, you know, for the girls soccer squad. That just kind of shows how much depth you guys have, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, we do. Our freshman really stepped up this tournament. J.C., one of them, she scored multiple goals this tournament, just came up big.
Well, then in the finals, you guys ran into a really hot team in Ankeny that had knocked off the 2 and 3 seeds in Pleasant Valley and Waukee. How surprised were you to see the Hawkettes, you know, emerge from the other side of the bracket?
Honestly, we thought it was a chance that could happen. They took down some really tough teams, and they had a height on their side, so I think it was something that they used to their advantage.
Well, you guys took an early 1-0 lead when Katie Johnson converted a penalty kick in the 8th minute. You know, did that take some of the pressure off to get that early goal?
A little bit, but it's kind of a 1-0 lead. We're not satisfied with that, so it's a nerve-wracking lead to have.
Well, how confident were you, though, that your defense could make that one goal stand up for the win?
I think pretty confident. We knew what our game plan was, and we followed through with that throughout the whole 80 minutes. So.
Well, Brooke, you'll be back next year along with several of the team's other standouts, including Lydia Anderson, the goalkeeper, Anna Van Weingarten, Anna Spain. You know, do you like your team's chances to win another title in 2022?
I do. I think we'll be back.
Well, are you hoping to play in college? Have you looked at any schools yet?
Yes, I have. Just around the Midwest and Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. Enjoyed the conversation. I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
You bet.